Years ahead of the dominant media, find out first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com, on satellite, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Roll away the dawn, roll away the dawn, and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed now?
Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. This is the 6th of December in the year 2004. This is my brother's birthday, who's passed over. And this is the day before Pearl Harbor, isn't it, folks? It just occurred to me as I was giving that date. We have a wonderful guest with us tonight. However, I want to share our spiritual message before we get started here. Hold on. As usual, this was over in the printer and it should have been at my broadcast desk. This is titled, I got this as an email, folks, and it was so beautiful and so touching, I want to share it with you tonight. It's titled, Now That's God. It was one of the hottest days of the dry season. We hadn't seen rain in almost a month. The crops were dying. Cows had stopped giving milk. Creeks and streams were gone back into the earth. It was a dry season that would bankrupt several farmers before it was through. Every day, my husband and his brothers would go about the arduous process of trying to get water to the fields. Lately, this process had involved taking a truck to the local water rendering plant, filling it up with water, but severe rationing cut everyone off. If we didn't see some rain soon, we would lose everything. It was on this day that I learned the true lesson of sharing and witnessed the only miracle I have ever seen with my own eyes. I was in the kitchen making lunch for my husband when I saw my 6-year-old son Billy walking toward the woods. He wasn't walking with the usual carefree abandon of a youth, but with a serious purpose. I could only see his back. He was obviously walking with a great effort, trying to be as still as possible. Minutes after he disappeared into the woods, he came running out again toward the house. I went back to making sandwiches, thinking that whatever task he had been doing was completed. However, moments later, he was once again walking in that slow, purposeful stride towards the woods. This activity went on for an hour, walking carefully to the woods, running back to the house. Finally, I couldn't take it any longer. I crept out of the house and followed him on his journey, being very careful not to be seen, as he was obviously doing important work and didn't need his mommy checking up on him. He was cupping both hands in front of him as he walked, being very careful not to spill the water he held in them. Maybe 2 or 3 tablespoons were held in his tiny hands. I sneaked close as he went into the woods. Branches and thorns slapped his little face, but he didn't try to avoid them. He had a much higher purpose. As I leaned in to spy on him, I saw the most amazing sight. Several large deer loomed in front of him. Billy walked right up to them. I almost screamed for him to get away. A huge buck with elaborate antlers was dangerously close, but the buck didn't threaten him. He didn't even move as Billy knelt down. And I saw a tiny fawn laying on the ground, obviously suffering from dehydration and heat exhaustion, lift its head with great effort to lap up the water cupped in my beautiful boy's hand. When the water was gone, Billy jumped up to run back to the house, and I hid behind a tree. I followed him back to the house to a spigot to which he had shut off all the water. Billy opened it all the way up, and a small trickle began to creep out. He knelt there, letting the drip slowly fill up his makeshift cup as the sun beat down on his little back, and it came clear to me the trouble he had gotten into for playing with the hose the week before, the lecture he had received about the importance of not wasting water. The reason he didn't ask me to help him, it took almost 20 minutes for the... That was the reason he didn't ask me to help him. It took almost 20 minutes for the drops to fill his hands. When he stood up and began the trek back, I was there in front of him. His little eyes just filled with tears. "I'm not wasting," was all he said. As he began his walk, I joined him with a small pot of water from the kitchen. I let him tend to the fawn. I stayed away. It was his job. I stood on the edge of the woods watching the most beautiful heart I have ever known, working so hard to save another life. As the tears that rolled down my face began to hit the ground, other drops and more suddenly joined them. I looked up at the sky. It was as if God himself was weeping with pride. Some will probably say that this was all just a huge coincidence. Those miracles don't really exist, that it was bound to rain sometime. And I can't argue with that. I'm not going to try. All I can say is that the rain that came that day saved our farm, just like the actions of one little boy saved another. And whoever wrote this, there's no author, folks, says, I don't know if anyone will read this, but I had to send it out to honor the memory of my beautiful Billy, who was taken from me much too soon, but not before showing me the true face of God in a little sunburned body. Isn't that beautiful? And I hope that you appreciated that and felt it, folks, as much as I did. And our guest this evening, and Alan, thank you for your patience here tonight, dear. Hello. I've lost our guest, folks. And you know what I'm going to have to do? I'll tell you what happened, I think. When I called in, we were late calling in. And I think that I didn't click Alan in on with us. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play music for you here. And I will... Oh, I can't. I'm going to have to click offline, folks, to get Alan back. So maybe if Nicholas or somebody at WFAR is listening. Thank you very much. I'll be right back, folks.
Anything changed at home? Sweet liberty. Sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan. Or is it a state of mind? Horses and men. Horses and men are on the field. They didn't yield. Many have fallen here. Never forget. Never forget what they have done. The time will come when it will change. Thank you.
land of the free. Has anything changed at home? Sweet liberty, sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan, or is it a state of mind? Horses and men, horses and men are on the field. They didn't yield. Many have fallen here. Never forget, never forget what they have done. The time will come when it will change again. Never forget. Thank you.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Let me move. precious word, oh no, it won't return until I
and this is wonderful, but we are on the air.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
I really don't think we were on the air before. There was music playing on that station.
All right. Well, we're going to find out, aren't we?
Yeah, well, this is what Eleanor was talking about with her jinxes.
Okay. The jinxes, yeah. This has been quite an evening, hasn't it, Alan?
It has.
And, you know, I have told a few people that you were going to be on with us tonight.
Okay.
And, my goodness, I hope that... Well, I wonder if we were on... If we weren't on shortwave, Alan, I can't believe I wouldn't have been getting calls. What I'm going to do right now, uh-huh. folks, if you're listening on shortwave, and we only need one call, but we need somebody to call. So if you would give me a buzz at 570-537-3025 and let us know if we've been on shortwave for the past half hour, because according to Alan, he said that there's only music that has been playing on the shortwave. 570-537-3025. We've got about a minute and a half delay, Alan.
Yeah.
You know, from WFAR to the shortwave, so we should be getting a call. I'd like to know if we have been on the air,
mm-hmm.
because we've covered some really important, I believe, some but could be why we.
Jackie?
Yes.
And you haven't been on the air because you didn't dial back in. When you hung up to get Alan, you didn't come back till a few minutes ago.
Why didn't somebody call me?
Well, I tried to call, but nobody answered the phone. So I had no idea what was going on. So I don't know why you weren't connected and you thought you were.
Because I heard the music playing. Hello? Oh.
Hi, Jackie. This is Will in Missouri. You just come back on the air.
How long were we off, Will?
30 minutes.
You were off about 25 minutes, 20 to 25
thanks,
minutes.
Welcome.
All right. Thanks, Nicholas.
Okay.
Well, Alan?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hi, you're on the air.
Jackie, this is Charlie.
Hi, Charlie.
You just came on.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Charlie.
Okay.
Bye. All right, folks, we know that we're on the air. We know that the last 30 minutes... Alan, do you want to hear something really weird?
Uh-huh.
I think we... Hello?
Hey, Jackie.
Yeah?
Hi, you have been off the air the whole time.
Roger?
Yes.
Thank you, but we're back on now.
Right.
Oh, well, this is amazing. Thanks, Roger.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Alan?
Yeah?
I put a tape in tonight.
Uh-huh.
Right at the very beginning, checked it to make sure, and I heard it click during our conversation,
uh-huh.
and I looked, and the tape was halfway through.
Wow.
Hi, you're on the air. Hello?
You're on the air now, but it had been just music.
Right. Thanks very much. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Okay, bye-bye. Thanks for calling, honey. All right, Alan.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Is it possible for you and I to begin a conversation that we started at the top of this hour? Now we have no static.
Yeah, sure we can.
And then you know what we could do? We could continue it tomorrow night, couldn't we?
Yeah.
Hi, thanks for calling. Hello?
Yes, I was listening online to the music has been on about 20 minutes.
Okay, but we're on the air now.
Yeah, you just actually came back on. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, Alan. Folks, we are, Alan and I just Alan, would you talk for just a minute? I want to get a new tape to put in.
Yeah, well...
Thank you.
Okay, I'll try and reiterate how the conversation tonight began. And basically, I was talking about how shortwave was set up in the United States. And I think in the Toronto Star, about a year ago, there was a little bit of the history of how shortwave was set up, the public shortwave. And it was basically set up by the CIA, who set up Christian front groups at the time to combat communism and communist broadcasts from the Soviet Union. And I've always suspected that the CIA hasn't quite let it all go. And I'm working to convince of that today because over the last 4 years or so in shortwave, you've had a creation of superstars, you might say, professional speakers who've come in and taken over the airwaves, and have become the sole dispensers of information to most people. These people came out of nowhere, basically. They definitely were shot to the top, tremendous backing. They knew how to speak on the radio. There was no dead air time. And they became the sole dispensers of information to the general public. And if you look at the way their operations work, you have 3 minutes of talk and then 3 minutes or 4 minutes of commercialized commercials. So it's a tremendous business at the same time.
Yeah.
But the main problem is these people have become superstars in the minds of the followers, you might say, and they are shaping the minds of all those out there. It puts me in mind of Albert Pike of the Freemasons, who said that whenever the people need a leader, we shall supply them. And I think that's been done. And it supplanted all of the people who did real hard work and investigations over the many years and reduced themselves to poverty in the process. And now these superstars come in, begin to use the same information and then start bending it off in a different direction. And that's been the ancient technique of the elite to subvert truth.
In other words, they tell the truth,
mm-hmm.
but it's truth that it's okay for them to tell.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, a superstar must always have a little bit more than the general public can get their hands on.
Mm-hmm.
And that elevates them above all the rest of the truth seekers, you see. And the listeners don't know. They don't think about it. They just say, my God, this person is sort of far brighter than the rest. And before they know it, they've given their allegiance to this person. And when you give allegiance to a person, you've just given away your own powers of reason
uh-huh.
and discrimination.
Well, as we have already discussed, folks, I don't know what happened tonight. I apologize that you missed the first 30 minutes of this broadcast because there is no recording of it, not at WFAR, not on my tape machine, and no place. So it's very difficult to try to recreate a conversation. But what we were talking about when you mentioned this, Alan, I was thinking of a specific, you know, talk show team.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is public information because it came right off a public document on the Internet. This particular talk show team had in their sales tax report reported their income between $1 to $2.5 million.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
It certainly is for these hardworking patriots there.
Yes, it is. And then, of course, you know, I probably sound like all the rest when I say Sweet Liberty is brought to you by you. It is listener-sponsored. And I could not afford to have this broadcast, Alan,
yeah.
4 nights a week. In fact, that's why we're down to 3 nights a week.
Sure.
But it has been our listeners for 6.5 years. And without our listeners, this broadcast wouldn't be on.
That's right. Yeah.
So there's no backing here.
Yeah.
And I'm not, I don't make money from the broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there have been people, so many people, lots of people, who have said, well, why don't you sell things? Why don't you? I said, because that's not why I'm doing radio.
Mm-hmm.
It is not. It has nothing to do with that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a business as far as you're concerned. Yeah.
And our website, we get about 300,000 hits a month on it. And I've had people who wanted to advertise on our website.
Yeah.
And Alan, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It just seems like, and there was one that I probably would have, you know, felt okay advertising for.
Yeah.
But I thought, when you turn this into a commercial thing, mm-hmm. it loses its a whole purpose.
It has to. It's inevitable.
Its whole purpose. It loses it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you have a lot of legalisms creep in there because there's a lot of things you can't say. It might offend this
Oh, sure.
And that's part of it, too. That's a part of it, too. That's how the newspapers initially, long, long ago, were taken over, was by, and told not to print certain things.
Yes.
Corporations would say, because we didn't like what you wrote about whatever.
Yes.
And that's how you tame a person, you know.
There's a free, not a free newspaper. He takes subscriptions
mm-hmm.
here in a county down near Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew him, and I knew the sincerity of his desire to put out truth.
Uh-huh.
But there were things that he would put in that newspaper, and I would say, why did you do this?
Yeah.
Well, I can't do this because I'll lose all my advertisers.
Mm-hmm.
So this wonderful newspaper, which purpose was originally to print truth,
mm-hmm.
get the truth out to people, he had to stop.
Yeah.
Well, there were, you know, the guidelines. You got your boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And there are just certain things you better not mention
yeah.
or you're going to lose your backing.
Absolutely. It's very simple to do. It's easy. Yeah. And you get muzzled. And before you know it, you're a sort of Jack and Jill program, like one that's on right now, in fact. It's
Jack and Jill?
Yeah, it's highly commercialized, you know.
Oh, I thought you were talking about you and me.
No. There's one program that's on there that they tell you back in 3 minutes, back in 4 minutes. And so they have the 3 minutes of talk. They have some guests on as the bait, basically, who will give out some truth, but the rest of the time is selling the latest cure-all, you know.
Uh-huh.
And they go through one cure-all after another, and I guess they get cuts off every sale. But they've been raised again to the sort of superstar status, and I'm sure they've swayed a lot of people's minds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But they're rather commercialized, and too commercialized, actually. I think that they're probably handled as well, handlers.
Yeah. This is one thing that I have talked to. I don't know if I've said it on the air. I think I have. But I know to listeners who have called me personally, and they'll say, what about this person? What about... And I just tell them, you have to use your logic, and you have to use your reasoning.
Yeah.
Who controls the media?
Mm-hmm.
When you are syndicated on AM and FM broadcasts,
yeah.
you are not going to tell the truth.
No.
You wouldn't be allowed to.
Mm-hmm.
And shortwave, this broadcast for shortwave alone is $140 per hour. And that doesn't include the $25 for WFAR. So we're talking $165 an hour, Alan.
Mm-hmm.
And three, we couldn't handle 4 days a week,
yeah.
you know, because of lack of enough. It wasn't because of lack of support, because we certainly have had that for 6.5 years,
mm-hmm.
but enough support, you know, to keep it going
yeah.
for four nights a week. And when you, this is what I have said to these people who ask me, when somebody is broadcasting 3 to 6 hours a day,
mm-hmm.
Look at the cost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You've got to have big bucks to do that.
They're on satellite and they're on the website.
They're on internet. They're on satellite. They're on one or two or three shortwave stations.
Mm-hmm.
They're on AM stations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they all pass each other around as guests on other people's programs. So it's a click, you know.
It is a click. And you know what? There was a while there, this was several years back, I wondered how come I never got invited to any of their, what they call them, expos.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I really did, because I was still somewhat naive, but I knew that I had a message that was important enough that it would be appropriate to invite me. Never once, Alan, did I ever get invited. And then when I began to understand a little bit more, I thought, well, okay, they know I'm not compromisable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to compromise.
Sure.
And that's just the way it was. So I'm the outsider in a sense.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you were not the outsider, you'd be one of them, and money would be coming in.
That's true. Yes, that's true.
You'd have no problem.
You're right.
And you'd be fast around all their shows. You
know? Yeah, I would actually get invited as a guest, wouldn't I?
Yes, you would. Yeah. And that's what they've done. They've taken over and they've squeezed everyone else out. You see, that's an old technique that the elite have always used to maintain control and to stop subversion, as they call it. Subversion is any opinions outside their plans.
Or maybe facts.
Well, that's, yeah, sure.
Not just opinions, because everybody has them.
Yeah.
But facts, Alan.
Sure, and that's what's been done. It's been done very, very cleverly, well-financed, well-thought-out. The right people have been trained. And like Albert Pike said, we supply the leaders. They come in with information that's grabbing. It grabs you. And they have information that no one else can get their hands on initially. And they become the superstars.
Mm-hmm.
All culture is created by training the superstars and presenting them to the public.
One of the things that I want to say this for our listeners that just occurred to me,
mm-hmm.
It isn't just the host of the show itself, but the guests that they have on sometimes,
mm-hmm.
And not all of them, but when you folks, when they say they're an ex-CIA or ex-FBI or ex-Illuminati, and they have all kinds of information they're giving you, you have to know they're only giving you what they're allowed to give you, because there's not such a thing, I don't think, as an ex-CIA or maybe FBI, I don't know, but they're still, Alan,
yeah.
These people are not going to come out and tell the truth.
No, they won't.
They'll get killed, for God's sake.
Well, they're under the Official Secrets Act, so they must—they mustn't speak about their work for 35 years.
And don't you think they haven't been threatened?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's ludicrous.
But, you know, when you have these people come out that say, oh, you know, I was an ex-FBI officer and da-da-da-da-da, people believe what they're saying.
I know, it's sad. It's sad they fall so easily for it. But again, the same guy that said that we give them their leaders, Albert Pike, said those who will not use their own powers of reason are meat on the table and beasts of burden.
Those who won't use their own power of reason.
Yeah.
And it is within each and every one of us, Alan, that ability to reason, to logic, the intuition. When something says, there's something wrong with this,
mm-hmm.
You may not know what it is, but if that comes up strongly, you better listen to it.
Yeah.
And that is actually has become the only way I know how to operate, if you would,
mm-hmm.
is there are times when that intuition hits.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's wrong, but because it's there, I leave it alone.
Yes.
I stick it up on my top left shelf in my mind,
mm-hmm.
Memory banks, if you would, and it has never, ever, ever been wrong.
Yeah.
Ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it always proves itself out.
Yeah.
And if we could say names, but we aren't allowed to, some names.
Well,
if we could say names.
Because it's the professional DJs, you know, they all sound the same. They have the same fast chatter, and all the bells and whistles between the chatter, electronic stuff or songs or something, is professionally produced. This takes a lot of money, a lot of training, and a lot of backup people to put forth, you see. Little Joe on his own cannot do that.
Well, we were talking about David Icke,
mm-hmm.
the half hour that our shortwave listeners couldn't hear. And I thought about that again, just as you said that. In the first place, the name is spelled I-C-K-E, but if you take the E and put it on the front, you've got a good Irish name there, Alan.
Yeah.
E-I-C-K.
Sure.
But as we talked about, I got a postcard from a listener who said that he had asked you questions, and he was asking me the same questions.
Yeah.
Because you had mentioned that he was a Freemason.
Yep.
And he said, if his message is true, so what?
Well, that's the technique. You cannot put someone out there to sway people away from truth without giving that person a lot of the truth. So they can, in fact, they come out often with more information, as I say, that you can get your hands on. You can't find it until they tell you. And, of course, that's your first clue, is how did they get it first? How come it comes to them first? And that's the bait to make the people follow.
Uh-huh.
And then you once they start the following, where are they taking you? And David Icke, Icke, by the way, also was, remember Eisenhower was called Ike, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
The terrible Swedish Jew.
Yeah, and Ike in German is oak, you see, like an oak tree. And masonry, that's why you have John Birch, the birch wood, the oak wood, etc. They always give a little clue. And also,
what does that mean, the tree, the oak, what is that?
An ash, like the guy who left your own Congress recently, Ashcroft.
Ashcroft.
That's the house of ash.
Okay, know. But what does that mean, Alan?
In the mystery religion or masonry, high masonry, they have houses that they're put into according to their degrees and functions, and you have the birch and the oak and the ash, you know. And of course, in the Nordic religion or mythologies, the world tree Yggdrasil was an ash tree. You go into Egypt and you find that when Osiris was caught or flung by his wife Isis, or his wife's sister Isis, he was inside an ash tree, you know. And then you have the
So the tree was worshipped back then.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and they all had symbology for specific functions.
Wow.
And so ash especially was the white. And of course, the pure dynastic races or peoples, the kings and queens were almost albino. So ash, being a white type of wood, was associated with them.
Oh, boy, you know what you're doing?
Yeah.
You are opening a can of worms right here.
Uh-huh.
You're talking about the white, pure, and the albino royalty.
Yeah.
I read a book about Queen Elizabeth.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And they had, you know, paintings, portraits of her in the book.
Yeah.
And her face was pure white.
Yeah.
And what they said in the book was that she had used so much terrible stuff on her face,
mm-hmm.
you know, to makeup and stuff. She got very pockmarked, so she began putting this white paste on her face. Do you think that they just said that to justify
yeah.
why she was so white?
Yeah, some of the very, very high inbred people had no melanocytes in their skin, which gives you your tan. And they burned. They burned if they went outside in the sun at all, you know.
Yeah.
And their eyes were so pale, almost pinkish. And of course, in the ancient legends, they were pink.
And those were the troglodytes, huh,
yeah.
Alan?
Yeah.
Well, listen, it is 6 minutes till, according to my clock.
Uh-huh.
And you will come back tomorrow night.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. What you know? Not to interrupt this phase of our conversation. But I would like to complete what we were saying when we were talking about David Icke.
Uh-huh.
Because, as I was saying on the first half of this broadcast that nobody heard, I was very much taken in by him
mm-hmm.
and his information.
Yeah.
And what I want to do is follow up on what we had discussed about the fact that, you know, when you can whip a book out, a book that could take a average person or even above average 2 to 3 years to research, it just, they pop out like like pimples.
He boasts himself that he tours and lectures 7 days per week often.
Yes, all over the world.
And at the same time, he's dropping these books like you'd throw away handkerchiefs.
And for our listeners who feel that attraction to David Icke, because of his information, there is so much truth in what he is saying. But Alan, I want to stop right here for a moment or so to do a commercial for Sweet Liberty, because I don't think our listeners have got it tonight. Folks, if you are listening on shortwave and you would like to see the broadcast continue, then you are being invited right now by me to become a participating listener sponsor so that we can continue to bring this information to you. And if you would get your pen, if please, and a paper, take my address down. And by the way, we'll give you Alan's right after this because he has some very important information that he has available. My address is Jackie Patru, P-A-T-R-U, P.O. Box 190, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, Pennsylvania, 16936. One more time, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, Pennsylvania, 16936. Alan Watt has two books, or booklets, that he has put together that those of you who have not been long-time listeners have missed a lot of what Alan has shared with us, but in these books that he has put together, you'll be able to come out of the dark ages, so to speak, regarding our ancient history. And Alan, you still have those available, don't you?
Yes.
Let's give our listeners your address.
Well, you got it better than I do, don't you?
Alan.
Yeah.
I don't have it in front of me. I know it's General Delivery.
Yeah, that's right. Hold on a second here.
You don't have it. You know what?
Yeah.
We'll do it tomorrow night.
Yeah, that's fine.
And you have it in front of you, and I'll have it in front of me.
Yeah, we'll be prepared then. We should get our teams to do it for us.
There you go, Jack and Jill.
Yeah.
Folks, we are just about out of time here tonight, and we are going to pick up this conversation tomorrow night with Alan Watt. I had a guest scheduled. I will call the guest tomorrow and reschedule, because this conversation, which you have only heard 1/2 hour of, must be continued for you. We've had it. Alan and I have had it, and this is why he's with us tonight, because of the conversation that we had a couple of nights ago. I sat there once again regretting that you weren't part of the conversation, so we will be back with you. And I'm not getting our music here, Alan.
Get your team on it now.
Get the team on it. Well, I do hope, I think we're on the air. Oh, there's our music. Folks, you've been listening to Sweet Liberty. I am Jackie Patru, your hostess, and we will be back tomorrow night, the same place you're listening right now at 9 p.m. with Alan Watt. So be sure to tune in. Thank you for being with us, and thank you for hanging.